I don't even know how to start this. Like, we always just do it on video. I guess it's the same thing on audio. Hello, Internet.
Hey, Facebook. That doesn't work anymore.
No, it's the podcast people.
No, I say Internet.
I know.
You say Facebook. But that still doesn't...
I say Facebook? Oh, that normally, is. Sorry.
Yeah. Like, hello,
well,
Facebook.
Say hello, Internet. I'll think of something. Or do you want... I can switch. I can be the Internet guy. You can be the other thing guy.
Well, I don't have another thing.
Make something up. Hello, Internet.
Good evening.
Oh my god. We're never gonna get through this.
Editing's gonna be tucked.
This is all staying in.
We're just going with it.
This is all staying in. This is the new intro. It's just us trying to think of an intro. Hey,
trying to get there.
It's this is Bourbon and Zeppelins. I don't know why I said it like that. Hey, well, hey. Hello.
Hello.
What is happening right now?
What
is even happening?
We pre-drank. That was a lot fuller
I've
earlier.
I've had that much. I've barely had anything.
I'm almost done.
You are crushing that. okay. hello, listeners. No, that's dumb. This... Hey. Is Bourbon and Zeppelins.
Welcome to Kickstarter Crystal Ball.
Oh, yeah. Are we going to call this Kickstarter Crystal Ball or Bourbon
I don't
and
know.
Zeppelins?
No, you're right. It's this is Bourbon and Zeppelins.
We could do, because one day this is going to turn into like a whole...
Something?
Well, no, like Bourbon and Zeppelins is going to become like a, it's going to become like a whole,
household
like network
name,
of
a brand.
Podcasts. So it'd be like Bourbon and Zeppelins Presents.
I thought it was Bourbon and Zeppelins brought to you by Sprocket 6 Media.
Oh, yeah, we could do that. Going to give some free advertising to something.
Prescott Pharmaceuticals.
All right, so
I think you gave me your polio.
Maybe. I don't believe in vaccinations. I heard a great vaccination thing today.
A thing.
Like a theory. Like why you shouldn't get vaccinated.
Oh man. A theory of why you shouldn't get vaccinated.
Yes.
Okay.
What other theory would there be? There aren't a lot of people who are passing around, who go on the internet to pass around theories about why you should get vaccinated.
Hey, there's this crazy idea. Here's an idea. Maybe we should get vaccinated. This is my theory. You won't die.
Let me tell you why you shouldn't
get
vaccinated.
Okay, why shouldn't you get vaccinated?
You ever put a piece of tinfoil in a microwave?
Thank you for saying microwave.
I don't know what else you call a microwave.
Well, okay, yes.
A yes, devil's triangle? Okay.
Curly Mappel.
The Curly Mappel. So you put you put a piece of tinfoil in a microwave. What happens? It sparks?
Sparkies.
Sparks.
Yeah.
Right. So when you get vaccinated, you get aluminum on your brain.
Why?
I don't know. Oh. That's how vaccines work, I'm told, by the internet. And if you're on your phone and you're on a 5G network, 5G microwaves are going through your head and sparking all of the aluminum that's on your brain from the vaccination. So yeah, you don't have polio and you don't have smallpox. You don't have the bubonic plague.
But you got sparkies in your brain?
Your brain is literally on fire.
Someone's brain is on fire, that's for sure.
Yeah. Anyways, that was my favorite new...
Where did they come up with that?
Did you come up with anything? Like, part of me thinks that half the people in the anti-vaccine movement are just, like, there for laughs.
Like flat earthers, like, trying to get a rise
like
out
flat
of...
flat earthers, yeah.
Okay. Oh, boy.
There's probably 50-50. There's a bunch of people who are in both groups who are just there just to bother people.
Just to take the piss out of it.
Yeah. Just to anger their friends.
part of it's to anger their friends, and the other part is to sort of just feed these guys new things to spout. And I'll be honest with you, I'm surprised that I don't do that.
I do that with my in-laws. We have opportunity this weekend.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving's coming up.
I'm going to be giving thanks for opportunity. We'll see what happens.
Anyways, welcome to the first episode of the Bourbon and Zeppelins
Kickstarter Crystal Ball
podcast thing.
Yeah, Bourbon and Zeppelins Kickstarter Crystal Ball podcast thing.
It is a mouthful. But, I guess it really sums up who we are as people. Thanksgiving weekend's coming up this weekend. Yep. Jeremy's going to hang out with his in-laws.
I'm heading out of town.
And troll them.
Yeah, we're going to try to behave.
Okay.
I always try.
I go to, my mom's house and I troll my mom the whole time.
I like trolling my mom a lot more than,
my mom's been going crazy this week because she asked me what I was going to bring for Thanksgiving.
I thought it was because she got vaccinated.
Well, I mean, she did get vaccinated, so maybe her brain's on fire. But she has been asking me about what I was going to bring for Thanksgiving. And this year, so traditionally, the last few years, we've brought, Aaron and I have brought a ham. And, what else? Carrots. These maple carrot things. So the ham, okay. The reason we bring the ham is because my family, for whatever reason, does not believe in serving hot meat at Thanksgiving. And there's nothing that Dave loves more than a mouthful of hot meat in the middle of October. And so, so it's nothing but cold turkey. Nothing but cold turkey. And it really frustrated me for years. So we started bringing meat that was hot. In this case, ham. Some hot ham. Some hot honey ham. With some pineapple on it and some cloves. And it was like a whole big thing. And it's good. And so this year, my mom's like, what are you bringing for Thanksgiving? And I told her I was going to bring pizza. And she keeps... she's asked me more than once, seriously, what are you bringing for Thanksgiving? I need to know. And I am bringing pizza. I know my mom watches the show. Hi, Mom. I am bringing pizza. I'm going to make some Detroit-style deep-dish pizza.
Ooh, what makes it Detroit?
I'm glad you asked.
You knew it was coming.
Yeah. So Detroit deep dish is characterized by a couple of different things. One, the shape of it. It is traditionally...
Tell me it's a triangle.
No. Oh. Traditionally, it is rectangular. But I don't have a rectangular pan.
How do you not... What shape are your pans?
I have square pans. I just use brownie pans. So I have some 9-inch brownie pans.
So
the key is it's better in a square pan.
All four sides can't be the same length. You can only have two pairs of sides.
To be fair, a square is a rectangle.
That's right.
It is. But.
And also, where the crap do you have square pans from?
They're brownie pans.
Okay, no, I'm with you.
So, anyways. But the reason I think square pans are better, I think it's an improvement on the original. Because the second defining feature of Detroit deep dish pizza is the cheese goes all the way out to the edge. And when it cooks, it actually touches the pan and it crisps up all the way around. Right.
Okay.
Right. So the best pieces are corner pieces because you get more of that
more of the crispy cheese.
And a square pizza, they're all corner pieces.
Those are big pieces.
They're 4.5 by 4.5 inches.
Oh, okay. I'm envisioning a much
bigger... No, I have 9-inch pans. So I have a couple of those. I'm going to buy some more pans on Saturday morning. I'm going to make a bunch of dough on Saturday. And then Sunday, I'm going to spend the day slaving away in the kitchen making pizzas.
All right.
Yeah, and they're going to be good. And the way it works is so it goes dough, cheese, some pepperoni. I'm only making pepperoni pizzas. That's what you're getting. Some pepperoni. And then after it cooks... That's when you add some tomato sauce. So you have some hot tomato sauce with some sugar, and then you just spoon two little strips of it on top of the pizza. Boom, boom.
Really?
Yes. So
this is not traditional pizza. I don't like change. I'm not sure if I can get on board.
This is I guarantee you, this is the best pizza you've ever had. That you've never had.
That I haven't ever had.
Yes.
All right.
It is. So the reason... Interesting story about why it was rectangular and not like a long square.
That's what we should call rectangles.
They're just long squares. Reason it was a long square to begin with is because, so Detroit, you know, known for car factories, right? Automotive lines.
Yep.
So drip pans are rectangles, long squares. And so guys would take these drip pans home, and they're made of some special metal. And they would, and there was a coating on it, and they would basically scrape the coating off and presumably clean them. And they weren't like silk covered in oil.
Okay.
And so that material, like, you can buy these pans on Amazon to make like real, quote unquote, real
Detroit pizza pans.
Yeah. And they also use something called brick cheese, which is basically, it's kind of a mix of cheddar and Jack, which is sort of what I use. I just sort of shred some cheddar and some Monterey Jack, and I use that for my cheese. But you can actually buy, brick cheese, which is kind of for the Detroit deep dish.
Holy crap! That almost $400 Lloyd's pans.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, there's
another
one.
That's 12 of them. That's a case of 12.
Oh, thank you.
They aren't $400 a pop.
Reading is good. All right. Anyway.
Anywho, so that's
so
what
I'm bringing. Pizza. What? Okay.
I'm trying to switch things up. I don't like tradition.
Yes, I know. Now, are you expecting her to then provide complimentary food to pizza?
No, I'm expecting the rest of it to be
traditional.
More traditional.
You just won't partake in it.
Well, you know, like, I've got family that brings, you know, pierogies and cabbage rolls, and I would argue that those are not traditional Thanksgiving foods.
No, unless you're Ukrainian. But Ukrainians don't have Thanksgiving. They have nothing to be thankful for.
Remember at the top when we said we were going to say anything political? We didn't say we wouldn't say things that weren't controversial.
How you doing, Sarah?
Hey, Sarah. You caught us at a good time.
We're ripe today.
We're just talking about the weekend coming up. So for those of you who are listening to the podcast version of this, which you can find on iTunes for sure, and
Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever else you get your podcasts.
Maybe those. I haven't set that up yet at this point while we're recording this. I don't know how to get this audio onto those platforms.
You.
I know how to do it on iTunes.
We're going to mail USB keys to anybody who subscribes to the podcast.
That's not the worst idea I've ever heard. Have you ever heard of Vaporwave?
No.
So Vaporwave is like it's like this musical genre. And it's this sort of weird throwback to like early 90s fluorescent things. But it sounds like, if you listen to Vaporwave, it sounds like you sort of, imagine it will in your head. Like weird synthy sort of stuff.
Okay.
And they love Outrun, by the way.
Do they really?
They do.
For those of you who
can't see what's happening, which is nobody but me, or everybody but me.
I can see what's happening.
The video that we're currently watching and listening to is just a still screen from the video game Outrun. So Vapor Wavers love Outrun. Ooh. That picked up a bit. And they also love that that 90s water cup. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
The 90s water cup. I think everyone knows what I mean. That sort of weird, swirly, swipey thing. They love that. Anyways, there is a Canadian Vaporwave label. And they were selling stuff. They were selling their music on... So they used to just do cassette tapes.
Oh, yeah.
But the guy who like runs the company found a bunch of 3.5-inch floppies. And so the last album they released, was, to the best of my knowledge, was released on 3.5-inch floppy. It was the only way you could get it.
Because that's 1.4 megs.
Yeah.
How do you...
It was probably a single or something.
Okay.
But, they're also generally pretty low bit. Like the,
okay, but still,
yeah.
Anyway, cool.
How did I get onto that?
I don't know.
Why was I talking about Vaporwave all of a sudden? That's so. Oh yeah, because we were talking about mailing USBs to people,
right? That's how we're going to deliver our podcast.
Right. Yeah, hopefully if you're listening to this, you are listening to it on iTunes or Spotify.
Stitcher. Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or wherever you get your podcasts from. Also, in case you can't figure it out and you just, I don't know, maybe someone emailed you this audio, in which case, thank that person for us. I don't know why they would have done that, but, you know, thank them for us. Check out our website, bourbonandzeppelins.com, and you can find this episode and future episodes and past episodes. But wait, isn't this the first episode?
We've done episodes, all kinds of things.
On the website.
You can also see other ventures.
You can also look at the other stuff that we tried and decided doesn't really work. And now you're like, oh, you think this works, huh? Smart guy? This is terrible.
Mostly this is us killing boredom.
Yeah, I don't even know. We've been talking for a long time, and we haven't really talked about what the show's about.
Oh,
man, I just keep getting off on these tangents. The thing I was going to tell you is if you're listening to this on audio, you can join us live when we record these and we stream it live on the internet right now.
On Facebook.com.
Facebook.com/Bourbon and Zeppelins. Check us out there. I want to say we do this every Thursday, but that's probably not true.
That's all kinds of salacious lies.
Like I literally don't even know what day of the week we're going to be releasing these episodes on.
I hardly know what day of the week it is right now.
Also true. It is Thursday, which is why I was going to say Thursday.
This last 2 weeks, I've been losing track of days a lot. Probably your best way is to subscribe to, like our page. You'll get notified when we're getting ready to release or when we're getting ready to record another episode.
If you follow us on Facebook, you'll get the notifications that we're going to be recording live, I think.
I get those notifications.
Okay,
that's how I know to show up.
I do not get those notifications, but that's because I create them. I think
you're creating them, and then I know to show up,
So we do the live recording of the show, and then I take the audio and I edit it, and then I at some point release it on the internet. If you are a Facebook person, like Facebook only, we would appreciate it once we figure out where you can find this podcast to subscribe to it and give us a 5-star review. Even if you don't mean it, or give us a 1-star review. I don't care. Like, whatever you think whatever you think is fair.
We should be shooting for ones. No, I don't
know. Maybe threes. I don't know. I'm just trying to get, obviously, we don't know what we're doing. Right? We're just copying other podcasts right now.
Frankly,
you can find the podcast wherever you subscribe to podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating and a review, and it really helps us out a lot more than you think. I literally don't know what that does. I don't know.
That button here, no idea what it does.
I don't know what that 5-star review does.
No idea. We're not recording at my house. We're recording. This is my office.
Yeah.
This is my. I'm
Jeremy
still at
doesn't
work.
Live in I, this gray space.
We also need to get better.
Background. Once I get my basement finished, we'll record in my basement.
Yeah.
And then Jeremy has to
I never leave work and.
Yes. That's part of the issue.
I go home and sleep and then get up and come back here.
One day we'll do one day we should record a podcast in a helicopter.
Yeah, it can be done. Yep.
Cool.
All right, so
So let's get to the show proper. For those of you who don't know what we're doing, which is everybody involved in this.
Including us.
Sometimes. We are going to talk about Kickstarters.
Kickstarter projects.
Why would we do that? What makes us qualified to talk about Kickstarters, Jeremy?
Absolutely nothing except all of our careers.
Yeah.
Jeremy
and I are both technologists.
Is that a good word? And more specifically in our roles, I'm an IT consultant, project manager, and designer. And
I am a programmer. Application developer. I can say that I was at one point an IT director.
There you go.
I can technically put that on a resume.
Yeah.
And I do, and it gets me jobs that I'm not qualified for, which is all of them. I'm not qualified to do anything.
Qualifying is something different.
So we're going to talk about a handful of some Kickstarters today. And the way we're going to do it, we're just going to talk. We're going to tell you about them. We're going to let you know if we think they're good ideas or bad ideas. What do we think the flaws are?
Both in their presentation and potentially in their concept.
Yes. You know, are they addressing, have they done like a decent SWOT analysis? You know, what are the weaknesses? What are the things we got to look out for? You know, and then we also discuss whether or not they should even be on Kickstarter.
Whether this is the type of thing we like to see on Kickstarter.
You don't know this about us yet.
Probably. We're very judgmental.
We're very judgy. And one of my pet peeves about Kickstarter is the fact that it's not really a Kickstarter and it's just an ordering system. It's a storefront for a lot of people. And it drives me crazy. Like, go get an Etsy, open an eBay store. I don't know. Sarah's wondering where we were today when she had her meltdown. I don't know. I'm assuming this is an IT meltdown. I imagine her computer got cooked. Okay.
Yeah.
Again, if you're listening on the audio version of this, you can join in and ask
interact with us
and make it more fun for everybody. I think is how I'm going to describe that.
You can describe it that way.
Okay. I got really off track there. I'm going to listen to this later and be like, this is a terrible podcast.
I don't envy you the editing of this one.
It's going to be easy peasy.
Easy peasy. And we're done.
All of our episodes are going to be 5 minutes. It's just going to be the preamble. this is why we got to record the preamble.
Because
it's more interesting than the actual podcast.
Oh, I want that.
Okay. So where do we want to start? Let's start with...
What are we starting with?
The one that I actually picked out earlier.
Oh, which one?
The Nerdist.
None of the ones that I have up.
No. I also didn't have it up. So, I really got to clean up all of my stupid screens here. But let's switch to this. Okay. So for those of you who are watching the live stream on Facebook currently, you can see our screen. So this is Nerdist. Not the Nerdist,
Nerdist.
The Nerdist is a much better podcast than this. Hosted by a funnier guy with better guests. I mean, to be fair, we have zero guests. So, yeah. I mean, the bar is kind of low there.
Yeah.
You know what? I take it back. I don't think Hardwick's funnier than me. I just think he's more successful.
And if he thinks he's funnier, he should come here and prove it.
Yes. I'm calling you out, Hardwick. I've never come done that. Funny. Now I'm really scared. Like, what if he comes here and he is funnier than me? That would be terrible. My ego couldn't handle it. We could never release that. We could never release that episode.
I would release it immediately.
No, we couldn't do it. I would cry.
There would be a bootleg of it immediately.
I would weep.
Nerdest nerd.
Social network app. Because if there's one thing the world needs, it's more social networks.
I'm tired of the social networks I'm part of.
Yes. Like, we are basically only on Facebook because of this show.
Created by Pietro.
Pietro Fabrizio.
He's in Italy.
Is he?
I'm a 22-year-old guy. 22 years old guy.
With a simple idea.
I hope
in your help to make it happen.
That's appropriate.
He is from Italy.
Yeah, that's Turin. Appropriate Italian translation.
Did Good. Turin have an Olympics or just a shroud?
I think they had both.
Okay. So
Torino?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Torino. Is that the same place? Is that what the rest of the world calls Turin?
I don't know. I don't feel like fact-checking that one. Okay, we're going to build an app. Okay, so right off the bat, I'm leery. Apps on Kickstarter, the Facebook crystal ball. No, apps on Kickstarter are kind of like a hope and a prayer, right? Like, everybody's got an idea for an app.
This is true.
Nobody realizes what it takes to build an app, and even fewer than nobody understands sort of the pitfall analysis of all of the tiny little moving parts and ramifications of every decision that you make in terms of functionality is going to affect other pieces of your landscape, yeah. your functional landscape.
If you've ever had to design and Holy or build moly. An app, it is a nightmare. Even simple things are
just, are not simple.
It's a quagmire. Everything's a quagmire.
Yeah.
So I always laugh whenever I see someone like complaining about video game developers. They're like, yeah. oh, why can't they just fix this bug? Like, they've known about it for 24 hours. Why isn't this patched yet? Yeah. Like, well, good luck with that. Yeah. Because I've patched bugs before and things that are not as complicated as video games.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, you can't just.
It can take months to get it right.
You can't just put some chewing gum over it. You end up gumming up something else that needed to move. So it's, yeah, funny stuff.
So this is a revolutionary app.
Of course it is. Everything's
revolutionary. Every app is revolutionary. Yeah. Born from a very simple idea.
They all are.
Social based on, it's asocial based on movies, TV series, and video games. So.
I already am lost.
I already don't like it. But.
oh, I haven't passed judgment yet. I've just.
No, I passed
You've already passed judgment.
At this point. On this social, what can we do? We can create a profile and add all of our favorite movies, TV series, and video games.
Okay, so kind of like Facebook.
Kind of like Facebook. Okay. And like everything else. I can receive the latest news about that.
That what?
I assume and where he means does the... my favorite movies, TV series,
and video games. I'm assuming so, too.
So he's got like a scraper. Let's break this down real quick, like just as we're going through it, right? So we've got an interface where we can create a profile. He's right. got obviously, you know, some sort of database in the background, relational, non-relational. Who knows? Who knows how he's what he's going to do? He's going to host this. He's got a giant server farm somewhere, so he's going to pay Amazon a bunch of money for he's some AWS Amazon. Space. Yeah. He's going to. And let's just say let's make it as simple as possible. It's got my name, my picture, a list of my favorite movies, a list of my favorite TV series, and a list of my favorite video games.
Gotcha.
Right. At a minimum, I would say off the top of my head, I would say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 tables, just right there.
Oh yeah, easy.
Easy, right? Like just I'm talking like real. All right. Now you want to receive the latest news about that. So how do we receive the latest news about that? We have to have a scraper of some sort or a connection to some API. You have to know either where to get this stuff.
Yeah. Who's going to aggregate this data for you?
Yeah. Like, am I getting it from other users?
I'm assuming. Yeah, I'm assuming it's not curated.
No.
News.
Okay. So I can find new friends and search games partners. So you need to have a way to like search for people. It's going to have a suggestion algorithm based on shared likes. Not the easiest thing in the world to write. Like these, this code exists. You can just download stuff.
I think you can just view the table of the three other users on the platform.
The other users? Do I know you yet? Will you be my friend? I guess so. This is my favorite feature. Feature number 4. Find a girlfriend or boyfriend. I will tell you right now that this is why this guy was building this app. This it should have been number 1 on his list, but he doesn't want to look, you know, too desperate. So he moved it down to number 4. Number 4, find a girlfriend or boyfriend. Well, now, I'm going to be honest with you.
You could find a boyfriend on this app, but
Yeah. The odds of you finding a girlfriend on this pretty slim, I would guess. I would venture to guess.
First of all, you need a unicorn, and then you need to convince that unicorn to sign up for this.
I mean, hey, I know lots of girls who are into like nerdy things, like movies, TV series, video games, comic books. You know,
yeah.
And they might join this just for the news, although. All the people that I know who are into this sort of thing know where to get news for this sort of thing.
Well, that's just it. Where do you get your movie news?
Reddit, Google, YouTube.
IMDb.
IMDb. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Well, yes, IMDb.
I watch trailers online, and then as stuff sort of filters through my
Sure,
Reddit
if you want to get, like, gossip on
but,
it, then you
yeah,
go
yeah,
to the...
Yeah, but yes,
Reddit,
IMDb. If I want to know something about a movie, all right. Wikipedia, or
so,
IMDb.
So, yeah, movies, TV series, video, and even, actually, video games now.
IMDb.
IMDb. You can get the latest production information.
That very first sentence did actually make me think of IMDb immediately.
Yeah.
And then secondary to that, Reddit.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to see the discussions
right.
about
if
it.
If I want to join in a discussion about that stuff, I don't like I have an IMDb account, but I think I've, I don't know that I've
you
ever.
You have an IMDb account? I never signed in.
I have one.
Because you accidentally created.
I created one because I love reading. My favorite thing on IMDb is the trivia section for anything.
Oh.
And I don't remember the details of this, but I was reading the trivia section of some movie. This is, honest to God, this has got to be 10 years ago. And one of the trivia things that they added was not right. And I knew this. So I created an account just so I could correct it. That was it. That's the only thing I've ever done with it. And basically, I think all I did was report it. Is basically all it is. It's like right. a report button. Yeah. And that was the first and maybe not the last time, but real close to the last time I ever logged in with my IMDb account.
Yeah. There's.
I do not participate on discussions on there. I don't, I don't involve myself in the ratings and stuff like that on there, like the reviews. Also, Rotten Tomatoes. I don't read movie reviews because I've seen enough movies and movie trailers to be a pretty good judge of what I'm going to like and not like based on the trailer of a movie without having to read a review.
Right.
That's like just a thing that I can do.
Exactly.
So I don't care to. I don't actually read that stuff. But if I ever want to know, I don't. I'm trying to think of what I do beyond watch trailers for movies.
Oh, it's about all the attention I have.
Yeah. You know, like I don't know. I don't have like I've sort of waded into a couple of discussions on Reddit about horror movies. That's about the only because like, I
oh,
love horror
yeah,
movies,
yeah.
And so I've got lots of things to say about those. And that's about the only time I've ever really done it. And I love movies. I just don't. There's a lot of people on the internet who like just love to complain about movies. Mm-hmm. And I'm not part of that.
No.
I can't bring myself to do it. It's so boring to me. Or to do the exact opposite, which is to become fanatical and obsessed about the details of a movie and really read in deep into stuff.
No.
I don't do that either.
No.
I just enjoy a movie for what it is and then watch a different movie and get on with my life, you know?
Move along.
Anyway,
yep.
So you could do this on IMDb. You could do this on Reddit. You could
yep.
do this on Rotten Tomatoes, just for movies. You know,
and TV series
and
video
series
games.
And video games.
Yeah,
I don't know if Rotten Tomatoes does TV and video games. I've been on Rotten Tomatoes like once in my life, so...
Yeah,
I guess I could look it up right now. As all I right, have
so I mean, his point here is that you can meet people that share your interests and find out what
yes.
TV is. The thing is, this is already a feature of Facebook.
This is a feature of Facebook, although it doesn't actively be like, "Hey, oh, here's someone who could be a girlfriend or a boyfriend."
No, because that's like super creepy.
What he wants is nerd Tinder.
Ah,
that's really what he wants. I guarantee you that's the app you want. It's Nerd Tinder. So it would be like Tinder, where when you sign up, you have to answer some nerd-based question. You know, and then that's your verification. You have like an age verification.
Oh, yeah.
And then you need like Nerd Tinder. This guy, I would bet, is probably spent too much time on the incel... subreddit.
Oh, really?
I feel I would.
Oh, I don't get that from this guy.
I do. I'm an internet cynic.
Yeah, you are.
I'm very cynical. Like, it's weird.
Well, it
like,
depends on the day. Like, we
like,
swap
we,
that hat.
Well,
every...
real life people. Well, I shouldn't say. Like, it's like generally speaking, I always try to find I expect the best out of people. You know, I expect that people are going to behave in a way that is altruistic and is kind. Right?
Obviously, I don't.
Except
Except
when I'm on the internet. And I just expect the worst from anybody who posts something on the internet. And that's coming from someone who posts on the internet the time. All the time.
Yeah. Come on. This guy's just a 23-year-old guy who's got an idea and asks for help to make it happen. The app will be created by excellent programmers and will be released possibly by May 2019.
That's actually not a terrible timeline. I'll give him that.
Yeah, he's got that all right. Okay, what else we got? Projects must
create something to share with others, the opportunity to connect, talk, and have fun. Excuse me, with people with the same interests, right? If you have seen potentialities, I invite you to donate.
Of course, risks and challenges. Every problem will be dealt with in the best way.
Well, I got to say, that really alleviates a lot of my concerns.
Oh, dear.
You know, because I was like, what's going to happen with every problem? Are they going to deal with it in the best way? Answer, yes.
Asked and answered. Okay, how much is he asking for?
This dude is asking for $29,555 Canadian dollars.
Just shy of
for those of you listening to the podcast, we're Canadian, so you're going to get everything in Canadian dollars. Or the native currency, 20,000 euros.
It's 30,000 and...
30,000 Canadian is like 20,000 American right now.
Yes, I realize what I'm asking, is that enough to build this app?
Oh, sorry. Well, I thought we were trying to appease our many, many American listeners.
Yeah, screw them.
Build a wall. Sorry. Please. 30,000 to build this app? Sure.
Only because I think it's an appropriate budget only because it's a very simple. It is a simple app.
Sure. Oh yeah, yeah. To do what he's laid out here, which is create a friend network that allows you to. I mean, there's a lot of things to consider though. Like, I don't know what he's considered in the design here.
I could bang this out in Drupal in a week. Drupal's got every one of those functionalities like baked in.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. I mean, you can do
there,
it.
There are frameworks that
I'm just saying there's a lot of stuff. I mean, I don't know. I don't look at frameworks for stuff like this because I've never had to build a...
Yeah.
Although, what I work on at work is kind of like... I build an opportunity pipeline, but we're like adding all these sort of weird social features. Like you can comment on stuff and like stuff.
And you're hard coding that stuff. Or
we're building all that from scratch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of heavy lifting. That's a lot of reinventing of the wheel.
It's not too bad. Like, in all honesty, it's not.
No, as long as you don't get too in depth with can you flag comments?
Not currently.
Yeah.
Like, so I mean, we're in a professional.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to,
right?
Shouldn't have to.
So yeah, like the reality is if you start posting inappropriate things on the opportunity pipeline, you're probably going to get fired, right? So
I don't know. Let's see.
Like, if I had to guess,
yeah,
right. So like having a flagging system really doesn't make it. The flagging system is someone goes and talks to HR, and then you get a phone call, and you get flagged within a different system.
Yeah.
So we don't have to build stuff like
that. You don't have to take into account some of those.
But yeah, but that's sort of the thing I'm thinking about. Like who can you direct message, right? Like, how do you handle that?
Yep.
Can you block people? Can you just mute people? Like, that's a whole big thing. Like, Twitter took years to figure that out, and they still don't really have it right. You know, like.
No, all of those little.
There's all those things you got to think about in a social network. And everyone's just like, I'm just going to like build Facebook, but better. Or, you know, I'm like, well, good luck with that.
Because it's taken Facebook a long time and a freaking crap ton of resources to, like...
Yeah, they've got more than a couple engineers hanging out building stuff.
Yeah, their technology is actually pretty phenomenally.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's
mind-boggling.
The neat thing about Facebook as a company is their approach to technology, where it's very engineering first. So they get, like, their engineers who have, like, an idea for something, and they just build it.
Yeah.
Right. And then they just like, here, it's done. And then they'll roll it out to test it. So what happens is they actually pick like random test groups. So every now and then what they might do is they'll slow down. And I know they've done this in the past, where they'll slow down like loading times for you, like artificially, to see how slow pages can be before people start getting too frustrated and log out or like click away from Facebook.
Yeah, it doesn't take me long.
Yeah. But I'm just saying though, but like that's the kind of thing that they'll do. So they'll do like little tests with that. And I actually got in trouble with that because they were doing I think they were doing it with like the fake news thing where they were like they were putting stuff out that they knew was fake news just to see how people reacted to it.
Yeah.
Because they do like their own sort of like little like those stupid YouTube videos where it's like, oh, this is like a social prank thing, right? And so Facebook just does that to their users.
Yeah.
But it's not like...
Which, yeah, so knowing that, I'm like, you know when you're watching a video and all of a sudden it stops and it's like, your video will start again in like... right after this ad in X number of seconds or whatever. Yeah. As soon as I see that, I scroll past and get out of there. Because I'm like, no, Facebook, stop. I don't want to see my videos. If I'm watching a video, and it kills me sometimes because sometimes it's a video that I'm actually intensely interested in. I'm like, out of principle, if an ad comes up, I don't care. I have to scroll away because I need to send that feedback back to Facebook's because I know that they're monitoring it.
Yeah,
I need to send that feedback back. That'll do it. I will move away from stuff if you put ads in my face.
I do that with a lot of websites. Like nowadays, it's so common. You go to a website and you're like reading an article or a blog post, and you get halfway through, and then you get that stupid pop up like, "Hey, subscribe to our website." Like it's not even like you see it on news sites all the time. But even like on blogs and stuff like that, it's like, "Hey, you should subscribe to our newsletter." And I'm just like, as soon as that pops up, I close the tab.
Yep. You have
gone.
Yeah.
Because I need to reinforce to these people that this is bad design.
This is bad. It's like trying to train dogs.
Yep. Yeah. And that's what a lot of like, and I get like for a lot of people that they don't want to do that because it is inconvenient. It's just easier to click the X and keep reading. But once if we can train developers and designers that this drives traffic away from a website, they will stop doing this.
If we can just swat their noses with newspapers enough times, maybe. So,
anyway, so 30 days to go on this. Not a terrible budget. Like this is a pretty good budget. Actually,
it's just I'm sorry. It's not an innovative idea.
No, it's not a great idea.
Good for him at 23 to be on Kickstarter, giving something throwing something at the wall here.
Is this the kind of thing that you think should be on Kickstarter?
I'm okay with this being on Kickstarter because I'm hoping that he's going to get experience, even if it's you know, this is going to be his first failure or whatever.
Yeah,
that's great. Fail fast, fail often.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, no, I think this is fine to be on Kickstarter.
I don't think it should get funded. I don't think it will get funded.
I don't think it's going to get funded. I think a lot of people look at this the same way that I do, where it's like, well, you know, I have all these features already in a bunch of different places. I think the only people, honestly, and this is me being a cynic again, I think the only people who will throw money at this will be the people who want to find a nerdy girlfriend or boyfriend, and they don't think there's other ways to do that.
And think that this is going to deliver them the opportunity.
I honestly believe in my heart of hearts that is the number one selling point for this Kickstarter for the people who throw money at it.
I agree with that. But I think it takes someone who's like not really thinking critically about the opportunity.
Oh no, absolutely
like
not. I don't think anyone looks at this and goes, oh, this is exactly what the world needs, and I think this guy can deliver on it.
This guy's going to deliver me a girlfriend or a boyfriend.
Yeah.
Right.
That's as far as they're going to get.
So,
I think.
So who's pledged what?
Nobody. Someone pledged a dollar.
Someone pledged a dollar.
So they got a special thank of zero backers. I don't think there's anyone who has a... They must have done a pledge without a reward. So the only... Wow. Okay. So this guy...
He doesn't...
So here's the thing. He's got two pledge levels. And I'm going to tell you this is a bad idea. He's got the €1 pledge, which is a special thanks, and a $5 pledge, which is a I'm very grateful thank you, bro. So these are both just thank yous.
Thank you, bro.
One's Well, yeah, like I guess he's assuming that girls aren't going to back this. No sisses.
Yeah, so he's not rewarding anybody for backing this at all.
So you don't get like a premium account. Like that's what he should be offering, right? Like throw me 20 euro.
Yeah.
You get like some premium account.
You get the first girlfriend.
You get like, yeah, you get like an ad free. Like I'm assuming there's going to be ads on this, right? You get like an ad free experience, or you get like, you know, like a larger inbox so you can handle all of the women who are constantly messaging you.
Something.
But yeah, you should get something, like some sort of premium account, because at 1 and 5 euros, so he's asking for 20,000 euros. Yeah. So
he needs somewhere between 5 euros
a pop.
It's 4,000.
That's so many.
It's 4,000.
It's 4,000 people.
My math works good. Somewhere between 4 and 20,000 backers is what he needs.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So he's not going to get it.
There's no way this gets funded. Yeah. Absolutely no way. We will let you know in future episodes, in a future edition of Bourbon and Zeppelins.
Are we going to track that?
Yeah, we're going to track all of these.
Cool.
That's what we do. That is what we do.
We're going to get the tracking back online, and that's awesome. Cool.
Well, who knows?
Okay.
We should actually
create
a page.
That's definitely what we do. Who knows?
We should probably create a page on the website so people can just go.
Yeah.
And be like,
see which ones we're
here's
reviewing
links
and...
to everything that we've, that we, that are, that haven't, I don't know. We'll have to figure out something. We will design a page and put it on the website.
We should do a Kickstarter.
A Kickstarter to tell us what should be on that Kickstarter page.
To do our page, yeah.
Okay, so we're going to look at something else. I don't know. What do you want to look at next?
Did
I slack me?
Is that the laser?
Me the,
yeah, let's.
The,
I don't even know what this is, but.
Bike light cycling.
It's got laser light in the title, so.
It's got laser. We love lasers. That's the subtitle of the show. Bourbon and Zeppelins, We Love Lasers. Kickstarter crystal ball podcast thing.
Now with lasers. Pew, 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 pew.
Zap. Zap. Okay, so this one. Well, those of you who are watching at home. Spoiler alert. You see how this ends. Let's describe this to the people who are listening to this, Jeremy. What is this? What's the name of this?
Introducing Laser Light Core.
What's the name of this? I scrolled down to the introduction.
Yeah, okay. Laser Light Core, projection bike light for safer cycling.
So Laser Light projects the symbol of a bike 6 meters ahead of the rider, allowing them to be seen from the blind spot. Scroll back up. I'm not done reading your screen. From the blind spot when otherwise hidden.
I want to see who this creator is. Emily Brooke. She's in Camberwell, UK.
I'll be honest with you. I'm a little confused about this. So the picture, the way it works is... See, the way I described it, that little paragraph that I read, almost makes it sound like there is a holographic version of a bicycle 6 meters ahead of you. But what it actually is like a little... That's maybe 18 inches wide.
No, that's way low. That's...
No.
That's 3 feet at least.
That is not a 3 foot wide projection there.
On the ground in front of the...
Yeah. Okay. I'll be generous. It is... either way, it could be 8 feet across. It is projected onto the ground 6 meters in front of the bicycle.
Look.
Oh, yeah. That is totally out of the blind spot, right? No, see that part of the road.
No, this guy can't see that part of the road. No, that's okay.
So my point is, if you're in the blind spot of a car on your bike, now I don't really cycle as much as I used to, but you know, Jeremy and I both ride motorbikes, and you know, blind spots in cars is a thing that you think about you're on a motorbike. Having a projection on the ground 6 meters ahead of you, a driver's not going to see that. Because if they aren't shoulder checking, they aren't looking at the ground outside their window. I guarantee you that's not happening.
Come on, they might be.
I've had so many cars change lanes into me, Jeremy.
I know.
Light on the ground.
That's not going to stop them.
Like, what this should be is a laser beam
into the eyeballs that I of the driver.
Fire at the tire of the car that's trying to currently kill me so I can slow it down enough where if it does get out of the way, it doesn't hurt as bad. That's what I think this should be. But it is not. It is, in fact, the Laser Light Core. Designed to be the world's safest bike light. That is debatable.
Oh, man. They got videos galore.
Laser Light Core tackles the issue of cyclist visibility and vehicle blind spots, not effectively, projecting an image of a cyclist 6 meters in front of your bike. So the image of a cyclist, and God, like, I really wish it was just a hologram of a bike. That would be so cool. Attach a fog machine. So you can, like, do, like, that projection thing they do for, like, at Disney, that water show they do, where they project crap onto the water that's spraying up. That thing, you know.
Sarah likes it.
Oh, this is terrible. This isn't going to help anything. This helps nothing. This solves no problems.
But let's watch the video.
Oh, I don't want to watch the video.
I want to see the video. Ugh.
6 years ago, ooh, we launched a new way to help cyclists stay safe and change how they communicate to other road users. We created the world's first laser light, a front light that tackles the blind spot by projecting the symbol of a bike onto the ground, about 20 feet ahead of the rider.
No.
I'm Emily, the founder and CEO of Beryl, a British cycling technology company. We launched the first version of the laser light here on Kickstarter in 2012 as Blaze. We've been so grateful for the support of all the Kickstarter backers who've helped us get to where we are today. Our purpose as a business is to lower the barriers to cycling and to get more people in cities on bikes. Almost 80% of cycle accidents happen when the bike is going straight ahead and the vehicle in front turns into them. Yeah. The laser light gives you a bigger footprint on the road and allows you to be seen when you're otherwise hidden. Our technology has now been adopted by the cycle schemes of London, New York, Glasgow and Montreal. The Transport Research Laboratory in London demonstrated it increased the visibility of a cyclist by over 30%. The next step on this journey, we've now created the Laser Light Core, designed and built to be the world's safest bike light, a product that we've re-engineered from the ground up. Start with a laser. Our patented technology is integrated laser optics, which are more efficient than any we've used before, resulting in the clearest laser beam we've ever created. As seen on the streets of London every day, it also helps give pedestrians a heads up, prevents them stepping out.
If they're looking at the ground.
The white light is designed with city riding in mind, and the peak strength of 400 lumens, ensuring you can see. The mount is a simple tool-free bracket with a one-handed click-on, click-off mechanism. We incorporated a lighter battery, which doesn't compromise performance. You can ride for up to 41 hours without recharging.
I can't ride for up to 41 hours.
This is perfect for people in the Tour de France.
We want the Laser Light Core to be the perfect commuter companion. The outer casing is a durable polycarbonate. And as we're from London, the weatherproofing is important. Laser Light Core is rated to IP55.
Thank God I live someplace that doesn't have weather.
It has been manufactured with precision by our
partner. We have a lot of weather. I'm aware of that.
Okay.
Her implication was that London has weather, so we made it weatherproof. If we were anywhere else, that wouldn't have happened.
You're really cynical tonight.
I am. This is not a good idea. You're being swayed by this slick video, friend.
That's usually the way it goes.
This is a bad idea.
It's not going to hurt anything.
No, but it's not going to happen. What it will do is give you a false sense of security.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're going to feel safer than you actually are.
Sarah says if it helps even one person, it's worth it.
I don't think it will. The reality is,
it's going to hurt more people than it helps.
You're going to get, if you get hit by a car driver, you're getting hit by someone who's inattentive to begin with, right? They didn't check their mirror. They didn't check their blind spot. They went. They aren't looking for laser lights on the ground. That's just how it is. That guy is going to hit you whether you have that light or not.
Yeah, it. I definitely see your logic.
Right, and I also feel as though you're going to see people riding a little more aggressively because they think that they can be seen.
I understand that to be a possibility as well. Possibility.
Like, I like the idea. I really do. But I think in practice, it's not going to be effective. What I would like to see, and I haven't scrolled down all the way, so maybe this exists, but I would love to see a study that shows the effectiveness of this.
They were quoting some studies, so I
were they? I wasn't listening.
Yeah.
I was busy being angry.
They actually do. They were quoting some studies. Whether you agree with this project or not, it's 108% funded, so it's coming.
Right. And see, this is why I'm so cynical about people on the internet. They've lost their minds.
They've all lost. Hey, did that beach chair get funded?
Probably.
You know the one I'm talking about.
I do. I don't remember, and I think it did.
I think it did.
It was a beach chair.
People,
I can go buy a beach chair anywhere.
I was irate about that one, I know.
Pocket. Yes, they all have pockets now.
All of them. Pockets. Yeah.
Like, it's a nice design. And I would actually be, happier with this if it didn't have the laser gimmick.
Possibly.
Like, if this was just like a flashlight, like basically, for the most part, it's a mountable flashlight with like a little lasery bit on it. Right, you take that the lasery bit out. You just have a nice headlight that right. you can use as a flashlight, one-handed on/off. Like, that's nice design. 41-hour battery. That's nice design. Probably lasts longer if you don't turn the laser part on.
Oh, I would imagine so. Yeah.
You know, I do not believe that this is going to protect anybody.
Yeah, people are going to get hit and not understand they had their lasers on.
Like, this is. I know they show it in the daytime, and it's there.
And the snow.
But it's not, like, it's not very useful in the daytime.
Yeah, it, that's...
When a lot
that's
of...
That's actually a good...
right? Not very useful in the daytime, I would say.
I think that's a valid criticism. So. All right.
Oh, sorry. Laser off, 41-hour battery life. I thought that was laser on. Constant laser, 8.5-hour battery life. Good old marketing spin. Can't believe I fell for that.
Sucker. All right. Should we do one more?
Yeah, we can do a billion of these.
Well, so first of all, do you think this should be on here?
Oh, right. Sorry.
Let's answer that question. Is this the kind of thing that should be on?
Yes, this is the kind of thing that should be on because it's people exploring ideas.
So I want to take a look at what they're doing with the money.
Oh, right.
If they even tell us that.
Well, presumably they're going to...
One second, I'm just going to switch.
Build the red-green lasers.
Whoops. Come on. There we go.
Did I just accidentally mute anything?
I did not. Okay. Burner break. Just tell me what you're doing with the money.
With you by Christmas? I feel like that's not going to happen.
Feel like this is already built? I think this is...
You think this is an order system?
I think this is an order system. I don't think they're taking this money to develop anything. I think they are taking this just to buy this thing, please.
To pay for their development that they've already done.
Yeah.
Risks and challenges.
There we go. Timelines. We felt the pain of suppliers letting us down in the past and only committed to a Kickstarter launch when we were certain we had the right partners in place. We're committing to getting all laser light core lights shipped out to backers in time for Christmas 2018. Product quality. Since the early days of the company, we've been designing and building technically advanced, robust bike lights. We have also manufactured products that are used on bike share across the world. Okay, so quality. And then warranty, because of our confidence. We'll provide a 2-year warranty from date of delivery. Batteries under a 6-month warranty. Okay. So, these are all great things. I think these are marketing platitudes more than anything.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what they are.
Like, this isn't a risk and challenge thing. This is the interview question. Tell me about something that's gone wrong in the past and how you've overcome it. And it's like,
tell me one of your weaknesses. You know, well, I'm too much of a perfectionist.
Yeah. I just always get things done on time.
I'm too committed to my job.
You know, I just learn things too fast.
Yeah.
Makes my nose bleed. You know, it's that sort of nonsense. I feel like this is already, you know, designed and prototyped.
This is done and ready to go.
Especially if they're getting it, if they're getting it for Christmas of 2018.
And they have any experience in production.
Yeah.
It's October now.
Yeah, this is done. When's this Kickstarter done? Probably in a month. 32 days.
So
that puts them mid-November.
To be done. Yeah, for the campaign to be finished. So they're going to have from end of the campaign to delivery is a month.
Yeah.
I have Kickstarters that I'm waiting for from a year and a half ago.
Yeah. Yeah. So
specifically because of
supplier
design and production and supplier supply chain issues. So if they're confident, they are either woefully naive.
Yeah.
Or they've already got the ace up their sleeve.
They have a warehouse full of these things.
And they've got a warehouse full of these things ready to go.
I suspect that's the issue.
If that's the case,
I am really unhappy with this particular pledge.
Being there.
The thank you pledge. So, I mean, everyone has a thank you pledge, but I think if you're using this as an order system, like I think these guys are, it is disingenuous to be like, hey, just send us a buck.
Just help us get this done.
Help us get this to market. Send us a dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. You've already done yourself. So then the next level is 69 American dollars.
Yeah, $1 to 69.
So that's the early bird price. That's 30%. You're selling for 100 American dollars.
That's a really expensive flashlight. Sorry.
Yep. And
wait,
they have...
No, I think I have some children's toys that do similar things like to this, that project like shapes, colored shapes on a wall or a ceiling.
Yeah.
And this costs $100?
Yeah.
Okay. Just...
Well, I mean, they're weatherproof. They were designed in London where they have weather. So that's something.
Let me tell you about weather. We're from Canada.
Yeah. So you can get one for 30% off. And then they have the Kickstarter special, which is you get it at 20% off, for which they have one backer. There are still 27 left at the 30% off level. And yet some Nimrod came in and got one for 20% off, which actually doesn't even seem right to me. This is 30% off, and it's $69. That implies that it's $100 or $99, right? 20% off is $75.
That would make it...
Shouldn't that be $80 if it's 20% off? Because right here, $99. That is 25%. They're bad at math, which is a real issue.
Well, they're also thinking that December is... 18 months away. Oh, dear.
Nope. No one saw that anyway, because I'm not on that screen. But I have critical updates that are for my laptop.
Imminently going to be installed.
Desperately wants me to install. But that's okay, because we're also recording this on not my computer, audio-wise.
That's right.
So if my computer goes down, we can still just keep doing this.
Well, mine's going to go down before too long, because I've lost my charging cable.
Uh-oh.
I think I left it at the hangar, actually.
At the old hangout.
Yeah.
So for $100, you get the laser light core and the burner brake. They do have a brake system. Their brake light actually looks really nice.
It does.
I'm not going to lie. Like, these things are well-designed. Like, they look really good.
They look well-designed.
The brake light looked nice and big. And as a headlight, like I say, just as like a headlight, this thing is fine. Although... $100, I mean, you get the break with that. But, I mean, the things where you're just getting the headlight part, I think you're spending too much money.
I think so, too.
$99 for the headlight and the brake light, that's actually not a terrible price. Like, I've looked at these things for, like, bikes.
Yeah,
Cycle, what do you call them? Push bikes? Pedal bikes? I don't know.
Bicycles.
Foot bikes. Flintstone bikes.
Bicycles.
Bike without a motor, like a motorless motorbike, whatever you call those things.
Motorless bike.
motorless bike. I like that. A motorless cycle.
One of those. Yeah, like, so I mean, $100, that's like 130 Canadian. That's about on par with like Cat Eye.
Sure, all
right. Right, so that's okay. And these look nicer, I think, but I haven't looked in a couple years.
Yeah, we'll see. Anyway.
Anyways. Ooh.
Well, we know they're coming. They're
you can pledge $2,500 American dollars to ride with their team. To go on a bike ride. Ooh, and then they buy you dinner and a pint. They better buy me more than one pint, is all I'm saying.
I want a pint.
Anywho.
Oh, there's only one.
Oh, okay. There's only one. That's fair. They don't want to buy a bunch of pints. Just one.
That's one pint. See, that actually makes me not want to pledge that amount, because if it's that amount to join like this big party of people that are going for a bike ride and a party,
yeah,
that's great. But if it's like me and like this chick.
Well, it does say team. Like, I don't, it wasn't just like ride with Emily. It's ride with the barrel team, which is probably just like all the engineers. I imagine they're all really hardcore cyclists, the people that work there.
Yeah. Ships to anywhere in the world. They come to you. You get yourself to our London HQ.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Well done. Because if that included a plane ticket. So $2,500
American plus the cost of travel.
Plus the cost to get to accommodation London
and food, except for one meal and one beer. Also, bring a bike. Or buy a bike.
Bring a bike. Yeah.
All your spandex.
All right. Well, we already know it's funded.
Is it going to get funded? Yep. Answer, yes.
Yes.
Because people don't think about stuff.
People are throwing
Think stuff. Harder, Kickstarter people. All right. So that was two. And we've been talking for, a while now.
We talked for a long time.
I think this, I'm really hoping this thing.
It's counting down?
No. I think what it does is it records for an hour and then automatically starts a new track. I'm hoping that's what happened.
Why? What?
Because I'm looking at it, because we were close to an hour a while ago, and I'm looking at it now, and it says we've been recording for 6 minutes. But I also know it's a different track, because I can see the name of the track that it's recording. It increments numerically.
Oh, okay.
So we had two. Where they stopped both times because I had the auto record on and we were too quiet. I turned the auto record on and now we're on track four. We were on three for almost an hour. So I feel like records for an hour and then starts a new track.
Yeah, let's see what happens.
I guess I'll find out. I'll find out when I get home. Anyways, that brings us to the end of the podcast. This is Bourbon and Zeppelin's Kickstarter Crystal Ball podcast thing, episode number one. This is
the first. The very first one.
We didn't even introduce ourselves. You know that? Like at the top of the show?
Well, I've always been Jeremy.
That's always been Jeremy. I've always been David. Thanks for listening. If you haven't subscribed to this podcast already, you should. And you can do that on iTunes, Spotify,
Stitcher, or wherever you get your
wherever you get your podcasts from.
Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Probably.
You can stitch that together so I don't stumble so bad.
No, I'm definitely not going to do that. I'm going to make it worse.
I'm going to stumble twice.
And for right now, I'm going to say, you know, you can get it on iTunes for sure. Not 100% sure about Spotify, Stitcher, or any place else. Because I'm not sure how to do that yet. Check out our website, bourbonandzeppelins.com. That's a good place to find out stuff about us.
The store's coming soon.
There's going to be a store. You can buy stuff. Who knows what?
Outfit yourself.
Maybe lasers.
With laser headlights.
Laser headlights. You can project a laser version of yourself 6 meters ahead. Anyways, back to business. Back to the matter at hand. Subscribe to the podcast. If you like this, we'd really appreciate it if you review us somewhere.
Give us an 11-star rating.
Yeah, on like some podcasting, we hear that does good things for us. We don't actually know yet. That's probably good. Also, if you want to interact with us live while we do the show, you can go to facebook.com/bourbonandzeppelins and follow that page, and you will find out when we are going to go live. So you have something to do with your life.
The random pop-up notifications. Yeah, you never probably know. It might be 4 a.m. that we suddenly come online and do a.
That
recording
really,
of a podcast.
That really seems unlikely. But I will say, if you're listening to this
like right around the time when this came out, probably Thursday nights. I guarantee nothing. Probably Thursday nights we record this on.
We often record it Thursday nights. We often record it around 8 o'clock.
I love that he says often we record it on Thursday. This is the first time we've recorded one of these on a Thursday. Well, I mean, second time, I guess. But first time we've done a podcast on a Thursday night.
That's true.
But, you know, traditionally.
We often record in the evening.
Traditionally, we've been like a Wednesday night sort of group of people.
Yeah.
But yeah, usually the evening around 8 o'clock Mountain Time. You know, so you got nothing going on, 8 o'clock Mountain Time, and I'll let you do your own time conversions. I'm not going to sit here and list all the other times.
I'm not going to do your work for you.
No. No. I mean, you figured out how to download a podcast. I'm sure you can figure out how to Google what time it is compared to Mountain Time. You can do that. The internet has all the answers. Don't ever forget that. Anyways, I've been David.
I'm still Jeremy.
And this is Bourbon and Zeppelins. Thanks for listening. Bye.
See ya. Well, where are we going with this?
I don't know where we're going.